Mitzvah Kuf Nun Dalet, 154th mitzvah, Shelo Lechol Behema V'chayet Tamea, very similar mitzvah to the one we just finished, which is, that was to check to make sure that animals are kosher before you eat them, and this is the lav, the negative commandment, not to eat non-kosher animals. Shelo Lechol Behema V'chayet Tamea, not to eat non-kosher animals, both wild and domesticated. Shenemar Vez Ezelo Sochlu Mimale Hagira Mimafri Seaf Parsa, these are the animals that you shouldn't eat, even from those who either chew their cud or have split hooves. Es hagamal ve'achazir ve'harneves ve'hashafan, the camel, the swine, the hare, and the hyrax. As we know, that's one of Rabbi Slifkin's favorite thing, that the shafan is not a rabbit, shafan is a hyrax, and it looks like it chews its cud, because it makes his motions with its cheeks. He has videos on his website where of hyrax is making chewing motions. They don't technically chew their cud the same way as cows, but since it appears that they do, so that the Torah includes them in this category of animals that chew their cud but don't have split hooves.
There weren't any actual hares in Eretz Yisrael.
There were hares, rabbits.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right, okay, sorry.
Umine, that's Arneves. Arneves is here, apparently. Umine shar behema tmea lo ba'aleyam lav bebir. The rest of the non-kosher animals do not have an explicit negative prohibition about them. Aval mikevan shamra ha-Torah kol behema. So what about a horse? Horse isn't explicitly mentioned, so maybe you think it's only an asay. It's only a mitzvah asay because it's of the previous mitzvah of checking the signs, the kosher signs of animals. How do you know that it's included in the negative commandment as well? So, aval mikevan shamra Torah kol behema mafreses parsa malas gera b'behema osa tochelu. You should eat the ones that do what you their cut and have split hooves. So neida shekol ma she'ein bo shnei asimanim yachad hu nimna mil ochlo. So that's understood that since it said you eat the ones that have both of these signs, so it's understood that there's a negative prohibition that you may not eat the ones that any other ones that all don't have both these signs, even if they're not mentioned explicitly by the negative prohibition. Bezilav haba miklal asei. This is called a negative commandment, which is derived from a positive commandment. V'hoikar etzleinu lav haba miklal asei asei ve'ein lokin alav. So this is a negative commandment that comes out of a positive commandment. You do not receive the penalty of lashes because it's sort of like it's considered like a positive commandment. But we know that, of course, that if you eat a horse, then you're subject to the penalty of lashes. So how exactly does that work? The omnam nesru lanu gam kein shar behema v'chayel mikal v'chomer. We learn out also, in addition to this lav haba miklal asei business, there's also a kal v'chomer argument at work here. Shanu omrim hachazir v'hagamal sheish ben siman tara echad anu lokin alav. So since we receive lashes for eating a pig which has split hooves, and the gamal also. Camel chews their cud. No, they don't have split hooves. Camel does not have split hooves. It does chew its cud. Right? So since the camel has one, camel and the pig have one kosher sign each, sheish ben siman tara echad anu lokin alav, kal v'chomer shar behema v'chaya sheilen siman tara klal shalokin aleihem. So certainly, if it lacks both signs of kosherness, then you will receive the penalty of lashes, even if it's not mentioned explicitly. So since you have the kal v'chomer plus the lav haba miklal asei, then that those two things, which independently could not create a requirement, a punishment of lashes for this violation, when they join together, they do. The Loshud Sifra, the halachic measure on Sefer Vayikra says, Osa tochelu, osa ba'achila vein behema tmea ba'achila. You eat these and not non-kosher animals. Ein li ela ba'asei, belosa seminayin. This is only prohibited by a positive commandment. How do you know also by a negative commandment? Hamalomar, don't eat these things. Of course, it gives those four examples, but it's not limited to that. How do you know it's not only limited to these types of things? How do you know that it also applies to all non-kosher animals? The ones that have one kosher sign, are subject to the penalty of lashes. Shar behema tmea ein b'am simetara, that have no sign that they're kosher. Ein odin she'elosa se'elechilasan. Nimtza gamal varneve v'ashafen v'achazir min ha'kosuv u'shar behema tmea mikal v'chomer. So basically, the conclusion is that those four types of non-kosher animals are explicitly mentioned in the Torah, and the other ones are also d'araisa by the principle of kal v'chomer. It's not a real kal v'chomer in the sense that you're learning something else out that you wouldn't necessarily have assumed based on the strict literal reading. This is, it's just It's a kal v'chomer l'ravcha de milsa almost, just to make it extra clear. Kilomar she kal v'chomer b'zehainyan mevor b'kasahu. It's really pretty much explicit in the Torah. Shem hizra osan sheish ban siman echad shel tara kol shegen al elu she'ein la'en siman tara klal. It's really obvious. V'lo shayach kan klal lomar ein onshin min adin. We have a principle which is called ein onshin min adin, which is that you do not apply penalties when you learn out a halacha from a kal v'chomer. So when you learn out a halacha in this type of manner, then you don't apply the penalty of lashes, but here you do. But here it's stronger than a normal kal v'chomer, which when you would apply this principle of not administering the penalty. Well, lefikach, kol mi shachal kezayas mi behema temeya, me'eze min sheyiyya loke midaraisa. You eat horse, you eat squirrel, you eat all these types of things. Any type of these things would be a biblical prohibition of a negative commandment, not only a lava bamiklal asay, which is like a positive commandment, but it's considered to be a complete violation of a negative commandment because of the combination of the kal v'chomer, which is really more obvious than a regular kal v'chomer, and the principle of lava bamiklal asay. Uperush mafres is parsa. So what does it mean, split hooves? Hu sheparso seha sedukos, that its hooves are completely split. Uperush shosa shesa shlomar shetea parsa muvdolos legamri mil malo lemata. So it has to be, we have a nice picture here again, where it has to be completely split from top to bottom and front to back. But if it doesn't go all the way up to down or front to back, then you have a problem. So it regurgitates its food to re-chew it and break it into smaller pieces. That's the way he puts it. Okay. Mishorshe ha-mitzvah. Again, the basic idea that's underlying all the kashrus prohibitions. That there, again, the Meir Sefer HaChinuch is going more with the idea that these are somehow physically damaging non-kosher foods, but maybe nowadays we're more comfortable with the idea that they're metaphysically damaging. The body is supposed to lift up the soul to do wonderful things in life, and if the body is not up to par, then we have problems. So that the bad humors or the bad health of the body should not affect one soul. And he mentions also here the principle of timtum halavavos, which is that unlike most other prohibitions, that if you engage in them, okay, you can move on. You committed a sin, now you move on in life. But here, there's a principle that's mentioned in the Gemara that is, since it says in the pasuk v'nit meisembam, you shouldn't eat non-kosher things so that you should become impurified through them. So the nit meisem is spelled in that pasuk without an aleph. So since it's spelled without an aleph, it looks like it says v'nitam tembam, that you shall become stopped up through them. So since it says, there's more of an idea in halacha, and certainly expanded on very much in more mystical Jewish thought, that the kosher, if you eat non-kosher food, that affects your heart and makes you less religious, and because you consume it, it becomes part of you, so it has more of a capability of affecting your spiritual level than it does than other sins do.
Like stealing money or something, you know.
Right. So stealing money, you give it back, and you give yourself a patch and you move on. But it's harder to undo the influence, apparently, of eating non-kosher food. This is why Hasidim, even though they have... Hasidim are not so machmir, you should know. Hasidim are not, they don't have so many stringencies. Like we were pointing out the other day, how they're much quicker to permit building Erevin than Misnagdisha communities in general. But one issue where they're very stringent is on kashrus. That was really the Hasidim, the Hungarians, who built up what we know as nowadays as Mahadran kashrus in America, the Chalav Yisrael and the Glatt Kosher and things like that, because they misnagdim, we're more relaxed about it. Okay, they're heterim, you know, our leniency is reasonable, so we rely on it, fine, whatever. But even though, you know, I said, like, these people are not necessarily so stringent about all ritual things in halacha, one issue where they are very, that's why, you know, Hasidisha Heksherim are a lot of times much more stringent than non-Hasidisha Heksherim, at least it's supposed to be. So, because in certain issues like Chalav Yisrael, like Pas Yisrael, things like that, because they want to, they feel that it's going to lower one's spiritual level, and the whole point of being in their communities and being very strict in their adherence to Judaism, in some ways, not every halachic way, as we said, but so they want to avoid eating any food that has any question whatsoever in halacha, even though there is room to be lenient about it. Midine ha-mitzvah, the lachos of the mitzvah, mash'amru zichronim levracha, shelo chalak ha-kasu be-behema v'chaya t'meya bein besara l'chelba. So there's no difference between its flesh and its fat, that everything is asr. Shakol asr. Again, this means chelev, meaning fat, although the milk is also forbidden of a non-kosher animal, which is why we have the original institution of Chalav Yisrael, that there has to be at least some sort of supervision. You're not allowed to rely on just tam, a non-Jew, to tell you that this milk is from a kosher animal. You have to have a Jewish supervision, or at the very least a very reliable presumption that this milk is not from a non-kosher animal. Now, this is interesting. Uvusar Adam, what about human flesh, cannibalism? Afal pisha nikra ha'adam nefesh chaya, it's considered to be, I mean, it's a living soul, so it's used, chaya meaning is the same word that's used for a wild animal. Veino ma'ale geira v'shosasha, so obviously humans do not chew their cud or have split hooves. Ein besaro b'chlal iser, behema temea lavar ala v'lav. It's not, when we refer to non-kosher animals in the Torah eating it, we're referring to animals, because those are things that normally you eat, and those are the just humans don't even come into the picture over here. They're a totally different category. Well, lefikach ochel mi besaro oshosa mechelbo chelbo bein chai bein meis ain loken alav. So therefore, if you eat human flesh or you drink human fat, again, it's unclear what he means over here. What do you mean shosa? It could be that the Sefer HaChinuch somehow had a subconscious thing where he was thinking now of that, of ches lamed beis, meaning milk, which is strange, but one of the commentators goes crazy over here, and he says, why does he say, ashosa mechelbo, that's totally not correct. Human milk is completely permissible for consumption. That's no problem whatsoever. So it could be he means the fat, and he's just talking about drinking it, because the fat is liquidy. I'm not really sure, but again, it is not permissible to consume human fat or flesh, whereas it is permissible to consume human milk. That's completely fine. The one thing you're not allowed to do is that an adult or a child who has been weaned already is not allowed to nurse directly from a woman. The milk has to be expressed into some sort of vessel, and then it's completely permissible even for an adult to drink human milk. There was a campaign a while ago that I read about where they're trying to avoid mistreatment of cows. They're trying to convince Ben & Jerry's to start using human milk for their ice cream prices. Obviously, it's totally ridiculous. But in any case, that would have a boon for the kosher consumer, because human milk is actually parv. So it's not milchic. So we could have Ben & Jerry's ice cream, and actually, and not only would you not have Chalav Yisrael problems, but you would actually, it would actually be part of.
So you just have to have, you know, large dairy farms of women that, you know, produce it. That would be wonderful, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
a woman.
Modest proposal here.
You know. Right. And a woman produces much less milk than a cow, so it would be, obviously it's totally absurd, but just if you want to bake part of desserts with human milk, that's completely, it's completely acceptable. There's no problem whatsoever. Again, you can't cook milk directly, cook meat directly in human milk because of the issue of myrosine, that it looks like you're cooking in a milk of an animal, but if you would like to consume human milk after your meat and not directly together, you want to put some in a dessert or in a way it's not in a dessert or make ice cream, then that would be perfectly fine halachically.
I mean, it's kind of a little surprise that the Sefer Chinuch doesn't say at this point, well, of course, the whole idea of cannibalism is so completely abhorrent to, you know, everybody, you know, it's hardly even necessary to, you know, to have a separate explicit answer or something like that.
I mean, that's certainly a valid point. You're right. It's interesting that he doesn't point that out explicitly. You're right. Again, that's probably the reason why the Torah doesn't stated explicitly is because it's so disgusting that nobody would even think to do it. Yeah?
Maybe discusses it later.
No.
Sorry.
He does say, Aval mikol makom aser hu maaseh, it's you violate a positive commandment. You don't receive lashes midaraisa, but you do violate a positive commandment if you eat human flesh. The Torah tells you these are the stuff these are the species you're allowed to eat and excludes humans from the list. You're not allowed to eat human flesh. So those it's just not as severe as the penalty for eating for an animal that's not kosher. So for example, this is a little bit of a morbid situation, but let's say your plane crashes in the middle of the wilderness in the desert and you have the choice between, I mean, somebody who already died, obviously you can't kill someone, but if there's one of your compatriots on the plane who's already dead, and there was also a dog or a pig or something like that on the plane who was in the crash. So it actually, halachically, it would be better to consume the human flesh than to consume the animal flesh, because the animal flesh is a lav d'oraisa, it's received the penalty of lashes, while the human flesh is only a penalty of vasei.
Argued for a sort of super halachic category when you have competing values, that in this case, the competing values.
I hear that. We'll see in a second another issue that's involved in dead humans.
I mean, wouldn't Kavod HaBrios or Kavod HaMeis?
Right, that's what we're going to see. That's what we're going to see in a second. It's right. But that reminds me also of another discussion of whether it's better for a non-from Jew to marry a non-Jew or to marry a Jew and not keep Hilchos Nida.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you could argue, well, no, it's better to marry a non-Jew because then that's only that's a lesser level prohibition, exactly what it is. But Nida is an Isser Kares, so that's a very severe prohibition. So better to marry the non-Jew. So that's something that I think. This I heard Rav Lichtenstein on the other side, where he said, "No, that's ridiculous. That there are meta halachic issues at play over here, and obviously, practically speaking, it's better for someone to marry Jewish, even if they're not going to observe the laws of Hilchos Nida." So miklal shekol shehu chutz me'elu lo sochel. You shouldn't eat any animals that are not from these seven. V'lav abam miklal se'aseh. Again, we introduced this principle earlier that a lav which comes out of a negative commandment which comes out as a positive commandment is treated as a positive commandment. Zeudas haRambam zichron avrocha. This is the opinion of the Rambam. There's a biblical positive commandment not to eat the flesh of a human. Abaha Ramban zichron avrocha. Again, we have lots of disagreements in this regard over here. That Nachmanides attacks Maimonides and he says, there's no even positive biblical prohibition. It says in that the blood of those who walk on 2 feet, again, we're talking about humans, and their fat is not even have a mitzvah to, it's better to avoid it because it's disgusting. It's permissible to eat human flesh. Because you weren't allowed, again, we know that human blood is permissible only, and you're only not allowed to eat it because of the issue of Maris Ayin, that it looks like you're consuming non-kosher blood. So if there's no issue of it being visible, like you, you're sucking it out of your gums or something like that, so that's okay. That's Allah, that's mutter. So how could that be mutter? If technically, how could it be technically mutter and only prohibited because of the issue of how it looks if the flesh isn't even mutter? Anything that comes out of a non-kosher animal is considered to be non-kosher, like milk of a non-kosher animal, for example. So he says that, again, he says there's no biblical prohibition, there's no prohibition at all, technically, from eating human flesh, but... again, this is where we get into the point of maybe there's no need for an explicit prohibition because Jews have not known to join cannibalistic tribes in wherever they live. And
except according to certain Christians, of course. But yeah.
Well, that's the blood. But the blood is for sure, sir. That's why even this doesn't give any credence to the blood libel, yeah?
Why not?
You can eat it. No, everybody's, if you're for sure not allowed to eat human blood because of Maris Ayin.
The issue was baking it into things, so you
can
see it.
Right. And then
No, it was still... If it, no, for sure that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Mm-hmm. If somebody could see you baking it, and it's only place where it's allowed is if it goes directly from the body into the mouth without any intermediary. It doesn't help. Mm-hmm. Again, b'dieved, maybe you'd be allowed to eat it, but you're certainly if a little bit of human blood got mixed into your dish and then you lost it, but you certainly wouldn't be allowed to mix it in l'chatchila. Right. So human, if you're in a plane crash, so human blood would be better than human flesh because human flesh is subject to the an assay according to the Rambam, which is really how we assume.
Or if somebody's bitten by a poisonous snake, and the only we can get the venom out is
to... Oh, then for sure, it's because of my fish, for sure.
Right. Okay. So
and you're not eating it; you're just sucking it out.
Right. You better not eat it, otherwise you don't want that. Yeah.
Right, but that's pikuach nefesh. I mean, if it's a situation of pikuach nefesh, if you're in a plane crash and it's just you and the pig, so you shech the pig and you. Anyway, no, it doesn't make a difference.
You shech the pig,
right? Oh, there are in Maseches Chulin, and it talks about shechita of non-kosher animals regarding tuma and tara, regarding. Umikol makom, lots of meta halachic considerations when it comes to eating human flesh. We're talking about only the specific halachic rules as regarding the kashrus, the ritual violation of eating it per se, but again, there are many other issues that could certainly be involved. Umikol makom, besar Yisrael meis aser bahana. A Jewish dead body, you're prohibited to derive any benefit from it. It also, anything that's considered to be attached to the body. So, for example, if somebody has their descendants, but anyway, that if they die with a gold in their tooth or something like that, then it's not permitted to derive any benefit from this. So, because of this prohibition, then you would not. That's another reason you wouldn't be allowed to eat the flesh of a dead Jewish person, at least, and perhaps ever have the shayla. But this is machlokas, by the way, where the iser hanah. The prohibition to derive any benefit from a dead body applies to Jews only, which is the opinion of the Ramban, or it applies to non-Jews as well, which is the opinion of of other authorities. That's probably because of the censorship. But the opinion of the Ramban is indeed that it only applies to Jews. This is actually one of the considerations, as we all know, that Rav Avadya Yosef was not the biggest fan of shetels. He held that it was usher to wear a shetel. So after he finished all his ammo with the actual halachic arguments about covering your hair and what you have to use to cover your hair, etc., so he throws out the idea that we should be concerned for the opinion that something that's attached to a dead body is prohibited even by non-Jews. So we have to be concerned maybe that they're making the wig out of the hair from a dead body. So most people who donate the hair to wigs are not Jewish. But we should be concerned for this opinion. Again, most wigs, I believe, are made from hair from live people. The Yeser Rayosa Besifra, the rest of the proofs for this are in his book. Again, the Ramban's book on Sefer HaMitzvos. The Yishar Prate HaMitzvah Mevarim Bechulim Perigimul V'mekomo Sacherim. And the rest of the details of the mitzvah are explained in the third parak of Maseches Chulin and in other places in the Talmud. V'noeges Bechol Makom V'cholzman Bezchar Munikevos. You're not allowed to eat non-kosher animals ever, in all places, in all times. Again, he seems to be talking about the milk over here. But whether you drink the milk or you eat the flesh or the fat, you receive the penalty of lashes. Again, before... obviously, talking about the milk over here, because talking about Revius. The Sefer HaChinuch seems to be conflating the two cheslam and bezos in this, whether it's referring to fat or milk. And so if you do it on purpose, you receive lashes, and if you do it without, not on purpose, accidentally, then you are off scot-free, basically. You have to do tshuva, but that's pretty much it. Mitzvah Kuf Nun Hei, 155. Mitzvahs Bedika Simani Dagim. The mitzvah to check the signs of kosher fish. Livdog b'simani dogim, kolomar sharot zalechol min adogim. If you want to eat a type of fish, shivdog zalechol min adogim. Shivdog tchila bem yafe. You have to check very well, very well. Not just opening your can of OU tuna fish. You have to look at the sign itself. Fine, whatever. Simanim shenasna Torah bahen. So the signs that the Torah gave are beina snapir bekaskes as their fins and scales. Shenemar ezet tochelu mikol asher b'mayim. That you should eat these from all the things that are in the sea. And apparently this would include any type of aquatic creature whatsoever. If you would find something Minchas Chinuch points out that even if it doesn't have the shape of a fish, others disagree. It has to be something that has the normal shape of a fish with, you know, the long body and the, you know, the eyes on the side and things like that. But he says that the simple understanding is that even if it's, you would find something that lives in the sea, you know, that has, like a mermaid, for example. If you have found a mermaid in the sea, and it had the halakhically acceptable types of scales, and it has a fin, obviously.
Right.
If mermaids have a fin, then you'd be allowed to eat the mermaid, even if it doesn't look like a fish. Okay, but that's, again, but pretty much the only known things in the sea that have fins and scales are things that look like fish. Kvar kasavnu, b'mitzvah kodemes lezo, sheharamban, zichrono levracha, lo yachshav min yamitzvos bedika simanim aminim sheitira Torah. The Ramban, of course, does not count as a separate mitzvah to check these signs. V'chi ha'emes, itoba ze lefiha niralanu. That the Chinuch really agrees with the Ramban, but he's counting, he always follows the Rambam just to have a consistent system by which to count the mitzvos. Since it says that there's a positive commandment regarding checking fish, it doesn't mean that there's a separate mitzvah to check the fish per se, but it just means that if you eat non-kosher fish, then you're over both on a positive commandment and a negative commandment, because it says you should eat it, since it says the prohibition in the language both of you should eat this in the sea, the things that have fins and scales, and you shouldn't eat things that don't. Then since it's not there's a mitzvah to check and a mitzvah not to eat, it's just that there's both a positive and a negative commandment just to accentuate the mitzvah that you should not eat things that don't have fins and scales. We're going to talk about it when it talks. We talk later on mitzvah Taf Kuf Ayin Gimel 573. We have a while to go. Mitzvah that he counted as a mitzvah. So when it says that you're supposed to give, when you give a loan to a non-Jew, so you charge interest, and we give a loan to a Jew, you don't charge interest. It doesn't mean that you have to give the interest when you give a loan to a non-Jew. You have to do it with interest, according to the Ramban. It just means that if you give a Jew with interest, then you're over both on a positive and a negative commandment, because it expressed itself both in a positive and a negative way. That's according to the Ramban. The Rambam we counted as a separate positive commandment. So again, this is the same idea. It's part of the metaphysical or physical issues of kashrus. Medina mitzvah, the halachos are as follows. Kiyon ma sha'amru zichrono levracha, shesnapir hu ma shebadag, shehu lo kein kenafayim shepareach bahem. The fin is like the wing of the fish. So just like birds fly with their wings, so fish swim with their fins. V'kaskes says, he osa klipa sh'olav hadvuka b'chol gufo. And kaskes are the little peely things that are on it that are spread over its entire body. So the definition of kaskesis is not exactly clear what that is. They're fish with things that sort of look like scales, which might not necessarily halachically be what the Torah is referring to with the word kaskesis. For example, the Ramban actually says in his commentary on the Torah, and this definition is pretty much universally accepted, although you could imagine that those who don't bring such a definition might not necessarily agree with it, but nowadays we pretty much totally accept the Ramban's definition, which is that a scale is something that can be removed from the skin of the fish without damaging the skin. When you scale the fish, you just, you know, take your hand and you swipe it along the, or a scaling tool, and you swipe along the side of the fish, all the scales come off, the skin of the fish remains perfectly intact. However, types of scales that, for example, like the sturgeon has, which don't come off, they're just...
Which are attached also on all sides rather than just on one, I think. Isn't that also a criterion?
Well, they won't come off easily, right?
Whether it comes off easily, I think other kinds of scales, biological scales, are attached all the way around. Now, I don't know if that means that that you're going to necessarily damage the skin any more or less, but certainly there's a difference in the way that it appears on the.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, people are very nervous about this because nowadays they've discovered all these new types of fish And there are all these weird types of scales, so people are like, well, is this a halachic scale or not? Like, we don't know. So we have this definition of the Ramban, and people say, if it doesn't look like the scales that we've already, that we've had from generations, that we know from our beloved kosher fish, it's just better to stay away.
Is
yeah?
the issue with swordfish that it falls off in its natural cycle? Or is
no, 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 kind of, no, 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 no. There are several kinds of fish. Well, there's one famous thing where I think it was in Turkey or someplace like that. There was a fish which didn't have scales, but the Jews all ate it anyway because they said, well, it has scales, but when you take it out of the water, the scales fall off.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Wait, know, that's what he's about to say.
Oh.
Nimtso kaskeses kiim. Oh, wait. Well, it's a little bit later. Nimtso kaskeses kiim amiktas gufo. So even if it's not found, even if the scales are only found on part of its body, even one scale is enough. Die over kasher. Has to be under its cheek or under its tail, or tachas napirav, or under the fins. But for the rest of the body, you have to have at least two. Again, where what type of fish this is relevant for, I don't know. V'chol shenimtza bo kaskeses, anything where you found a scale in it. Afilu achas v'mekomos haniskar, mein tzorech livdok im yesh lo snapir. You don't have to check if it has fins also, if it has scales. Kibavada yeshlo, all fish that have scales have fins as well. Aval kishiyimotze bo snapir, if it has a fin, then you have to check. Tzorech livdok im yesh lo kaskeses, you have to check for scales. Kish dogim tmeim harbe, there are many types of non-kosher fish. Sheyesh lo snapir, have fins and not scales, such as shark, eel, yeah. Right, all these types of things. Okay, so now, the chol dag shebetivo yesh lo kaskasim, it has scales, afal bi shei nasin bo beodo katan at sheyagdil, even if it only grows scales later, and now well, it's a little baby fish, geona sultanis fel afyan harizimutr, that's also allowed, as long as it has scales during any part of its life cycle. The chol sheyesh lo bo kaskasim beodo bayam, if it has scales while it's in the sea, alpha bishu masherosan kiosholam in the yam, like this fish in Turkey that you're talking about, if it sheds its scales when it goes on dry land, then that's also acceptable. Kigon akunas vafunas bisfasias afnastias vatunas hanikra birt belaz hariz kosher. This is all kosher.
So,
question comes up is, you know, why does the Torah bother with fins at all? Fins aren't really a sima, and why don't you say scales? You know?
The Gemara asks that question and answers la hagdil. What? No, this is la hagdil.
Hagdil
doesn't mean there's one. Hagdil Torah hadir, that to make the Torah extra great, that to make a more complete description of the kosher types of fish. So this idea has been somewhat controversial. The main things that we hear about in America are the sturgeon, which there were some rumblings that maybe it's really a kosher fish because it does have some types of scales, but not the type of scale that's usually halachically accepted. When you hear about sturgeon, so again, it doesn't have these types of scales, but it does have some sort of scales. That's why there were some rumblings that maybe it should be allowed if you don't accept the definition of the Ramban, but that is not the current practice among Orthodox Jews. We consider sturgeon to be not kosher, and the famous tshuva of the conservative movement allowing swordfish, because apparently they do have some sort of types of scales when it's younger, then it shows it when it grows older, so it's a question what those original types of scales are like. So
I thought there were, you know, post-game who held that swordfish was fine. It's not, you know, universally accepted, but, you know, it was not a...
Right, that's why...
Not that this is, you know, not that the swordfish is the greatest issue facing...
right. Right, so... The normative practice nowadays, again, I'm not familiar with the whole biology of all these fish, but the normative practice nowadays is certainly that we consider sturgeon and swordfish not to be kosher. Again, with these types of things, like, okay, you can go your life without eating swordfish. I don't go with the idea that let's just be more and more stringent to avoid machlokes, but I think with these types of issues with the fish, then we can safely just refrain. We have so many, nowadays we have so many fish to choose from, can go without sturgeon and swordfish. There was also a
Sveika Doraisa though here, so that's, you know.
Right, but I mean, you could, if it's fake, it's only a Sveika Doraisa if it's a suffix. If you have a posek who really knows the biology and knows the halacha and comes to the conclusion that it's okay, so it's not a suffix anymore, then you're allowed. There's also an issue, there was an article in Chakira about this, about the kingklip.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a fish in South Africa that many of the Jews in South Africa were eating. And then there was a whole tumult as to whether this fish should actually be considered to be kosher. Because it didn't look like a normal kosher fish. It had a different shape of the body, and the scales weren't exactly what they would be expecting. So, I mean, in America, this is not really an issue. In South Africa, I think it still is an issue. The Torah doesn't care specifically about when and where it has its fins and scales, as long as this is considered to be a type of species that has fins and scales. That these types of fish are the ones that are better in terms of health for humans to consume. Again, people, if you want to be try to interpret that prohibition on shellfish, I mean the main thing, these technical types of things about the, which regular fish are considered kosher are not the famous thing. The famous things is that Jews are not allowed to eat shellfish. So they say that shellfish have been the source of a lot of diseases, like oysters, which are eaten raw or alive or whatever.
Depends whether the month has an R in it.
Right, exactly. ומהתאם שקסבנו בשר המאכלוס לפי הפשט. ונוהג אז בכל מקום ובכל זמן בזכר מוניקבוס, it's at all places and all times, males and females, ועובר עליה ולא בדק יפה, if you did not check carefully for the סימנים, כגון שראה סימן אחד לבד, you saw just the fins, obviously, בדק בסמך על האחר בלבדיק, it's like, this has fins, or probably it has scales also, and you eat the fish, even if it turns out the fish did in fact have scales, but you didn't check, so then you violated this positive commandment according to the Rambam. אף בשנים סחר כך, כושר ביטל הסזה. Okay. Nitzel Kufnum Vav, 156. Shelo lechol dag tomei, this is the main prohibition, the negative prohibition, not to eat a non-kosher fish. Shelo lechol dag tomei, shnemar mi besaram lo sochilu es nivlasam tishaketsu, should not eat from their flesh, and you shall shall be revolting to you their dead bodies. Simani dogim kisherim, ksavnim lemala v'mitzah sasei beiz. Again, in our editions, it's just the previous mitzvah where he discussed the positive commandment. She lived dog b'simani dogim, shechashavnu minya minyan lichvod harav, rabbeinu Moshe, zichron abracha. Again, we're going according to the Rambam. Mishor she ha-mitzvah ma'a shekasavnu lemala, binyan isra ma'acholos, shekel baruch lihirchuk me'amu kol ma'ashem nezek nimtza bo hein behema ofo dogim. We're not supposed to eat stuff that's bad for us. Minatam shemarnu sham tini ha-mitzvah, ksavnu lemala gamkein. This is all the halachas we discussed in the previous mitzvah. Milchulin perigimel, the third parak of chulin. Which is mostly about treifas, but also discussion about which types of animals are kosher, which types are not. The regis b'chol makom v'chozvan, zechar menekevos, flies in all males and females, all places, all times. V'over aleha v'ochol kezayis midag tamei, if you eat a kezayis of a non-kosher fish, then yibemezi loki, receive the penalty of lashes. Or another, by the way, you would also violate this commandment, if you ate an entire fish, even if it was less than a kezayis. So a principle that either it's an olive's bulk of a big fish, or if there's a tiny, tiny little non-kosher fish, but you eat the whole thing, then you would also violate, you would also be a subject to the penalty of lashes. The Gemara also says, so b'shogeg patur. And if you do it accidentally, then you don't receive any penalty.